Welcome to the Motherhood Unfiltered podcast. We are a group of moms striving to bring balance to motherhood with lots of laughs and some tears along the way. We seek to walk alongside you in this journey as we learn and grow from one another. Hello, friends. It's Brianna. And on this episode, we will be talking about the loss of miscarriage with our fellow Motherhood Unfiltered collaborator, Brittany. I've known Brittany for a long time, and we were always told we look just alike and when we were teenagers, and our paths crossed again whenever her now husband and I met in Bible college. We graduated at the same time, and I am so excited to have her talk about this topic. So let's get into it. Why don't you share with us why this is important for you to bring awareness of?
Hey, Brianna, and hey, mamas that are all listening out there. So as most of you know, personally, I have experienced a miscarriage. I have written about it on a post on our Motherhood Unfiltered page, but this will be my first time sharing it in a podcast. But October, specifically this month, is Miscarriage and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and this just happens to be the month that I also had experienced my miscarriage as well. The statistics say that 1 in 4 pregnancies result in miscarriage. And I actually remember my doctor telling me that a lot of times pregnancies that just hadn't even been caught yet end up being lost in like just a woman's monthly cycle. So it could be as many as like 1 in 3 pregnancies result in just a natural miscarriage. And I just find that statistic so heartbreaking and so sad. I remember when I learned of that statistic, it was like, is this the reality of 2020? Like, how is that even possible? Like, we live in a first world country and it's, you know, we have all these medical advances, and yet 1 in 4 pregnancies, or maybe as many as 1 in 3 pregnancies, are still ending in miscarriage. It was just so heartbreaking, and it's a statistic that's too real for those who have experienced it. And mm-hmm. every story is so personal and so unique to each mom. So today I'm going to be sharing some of my journey and some of the joys of finding out that I was first pregnant, and some of the just heart-wrenching details of when I had actually had my miscarriage as well. But I know that each story is personal and unique to that mom. And so if, you know, in any way this is triggering for you, then, you know, just feel free to reach out for support if you would need support. And also, you know, if you can relate to any of this as well, reach out to us as well and let us know what was helpful or what was relatable to you. And just know that my story might look completely different from your story, or it probably does look completely different, but I'm just going to be sharing from my experience. So
I feel like this is such a topic, I'm really confident, I should say, that this is a topic that many moms can relate to, especially those listening. So can you maybe start off by telling us about your first pregnancy and what led up to the moment when you knew you were having a miscarriage?
Yeah. So, it's a little bit of a backstory, but in September of 2018, I had just accepted a new job offer, as a clinician at a new agency. And my husband and I knew that we were wanting to start a family. So, but we were wanting maybe like, oh, in the next year and a half mm-hmm. or so, you know, we'll start trying. We hadn't set like an exact time frame. And part of my job transition was because I wanted to be in a healthy atmosphere, or a healthier atmosphere, because my previous agency was not a healthy environment. And so I just wanted to be in a healthier atmosphere for a pregnancy. And 2 weeks into my new job, I was late on my monthly cycle. And I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, we all know what test to take if you're late on your monthly cycle. So it is a motherhood page, so I'm sure we all have a few of those laying around somewhere.
Yep. You buy the 2-pack just in case.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. And the test came back positive, and I was so shocked. Like, I just could not believe it. I was like, oh, wow, what am I going to do? I just got this job. But at the same time, it wasn't like complete desperation. Like, I knew my husband and I were wanting to start a family in the near future. Right. So I was like, this is not like our ideal timing, but right. I knew we would figure out a way, and we were going to be excited and yeah. happy for it. So it wasn't like complete despair or anything. It was just like, right. oh, wow. Okay. This really throws a curveball.
Yeah.
So I was a little nervous, like to have to share with my new boss, or like if I didn't get to keep my job, like what we'd do financially, of course, anyone would. But that night I like rushed home and decorated the house before Noe got home, and I set up a camera and I caught his surprise as I told him that he was going to be a dad, and aww. He was so excited. He like just like cried happy tears. It was just a really great moment. We still have the video, and it was really exciting. And I mean, we like from the moment that we found out that we were pregnant, we celebrated parenthood with so much excitement. And I mean, we were talking to the baby in my belly, we were singing to him, we were dreaming and planning and right. everything, you name it. We jumped in to parenthood wholeheartedly with no reservations. Yeah. And looking back, honestly, like, I do not regret that at all. I'm so glad that we chose to fully celebrate the life of that baby mm-hmm. and from the very first moment that we found out. Yeah. And, so as soon as we could, we made, you know, our doctor's appointment to have the pregnancy confirmed, and they make you wait forever for the ultrasound appointment. Like, I don't know, like a couple months into your pregnancy before you can get your first ultrasound. I don't know if that's everyone, but that was like how our doctor's office did it. It seemed like yeah. it was like years.
But, yeah. I kind of wish that mine would have waited, because I didn't have a good experience with my first ultrasound. I was not far long enough for them to see anything. And so they didn't think there was a baby.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah. So I think there's like pros and cons to waiting. Like, for sure, they'll know, you know, you won't have to deal with like the horror of like, I think I'm pregnant, you know, and then you go in and like, right, 2 days, like it seemed like 2 days after I found out. And then it's like, oh yeah, no. And again, horrible doctor bedside aww. Manner. But yeah, so I think there's pros and cons to it for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely like, you know, reasons that make sense on all sides. Right. But then at the same time, it's like, I just want to see, like,
yes,
show
yes.
me in there. So yeah, it felt like we waited forever for ours. And we were actually looking into doing a private ultrasound clinic just so we could like see the baby even sooner.
Uh-huh.
And we had told our parents, our siblings, our nieces, our nephews, our closest friends. I mean, we weren't like announcing it on social media, but we had told everyone that we just like talked to on a regular basis. Right. And I'm really glad that we did share that time of such immense joy with our loved ones. And we had already like started looking at names, and we fell in love. Well, we always loved the name Noah, but for this pregnancy, for some reason, we're like, no, I just don't really feel it. And so, I mean, since we were dating, we had talked about naming a boy Noah. And we mm-hmm. just, like, it didn't settle for, like, this first pregnancy. And we loved the name Judah. So we were already, like, calling the baby Judah. And we didn't even know, like, it's a boy or girl. But we were like, I just really feel like Judah
yeah.
is the name. Like, I just really feel like it's going to be a boy. Or I don't know. It was so early on. And Judah means to praise. And we fully got to experience the joy and the impact that an unborn child has on so many lives. It was just such an incredible time for us, like that beginning of parenthood for us, and just our loved ones celebrating it as well.
Yeah.
So at almost 8 weeks of pregnancy, I started spotting. And I Googled, because even though we all know we shouldn't,
yes,
we're not supposed to be self-diagnosing.
No.
We all end up doing it. Thanks to like Google doctors and everything online.
Yeah.
But WebMD.
Yeah, but right.
In so many of the comments that I read, it just kept saying over and over that spotting was completely normal and it was something called implantation bleeding. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like I'm seeing this like so often that like this has to be what it is. It was like very faint spotting that I was experiencing. And so
right.
I wasn't too worried, but I told Noe, you know, if I'm still spotting by the end of the day tomorrow, because I was on a Wednesday. So on a Thursday, I had a late schedule. I would start late, but I would, I had clients until like 8, and then I would be home by no later than 9 once I got, you know, all packed up and everything at the office.
Yeah.
So I told him if I'm still spotting by tomorrow night, then we can just go to the ER. So fast forward the next day, October 11th on Thursday, that I was still spotting throughout the day, and it was getting like just a tiny bit heavier, not full on flow, like a monthly cycle, but it was just a little bit heavier. And so I just told Noe, like, how about let's just go to the doctor. We'll go to the emergency room, and at the very least, we'll get an ultrasound done and we'll finally get to see our baby, you know, like,
yeah,
we'll get the ultrasound out of it. So it will just give us peace of mind. Like, let's just go and let them tell us it's just implantation bleeding. Yeah. So that's what we did.
Yeah. And that sounds like such a mixture of emotions, like wanting to see your baby for the first time. So you're really excited, but also like a tad nervous about what can be said at the appointment, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
So is that night when you found out that you were having a miscarriage?
No, actually, that night we saw the ultrasound, and the ultrasound technician didn't really like, she wasn't like super talkative, but it was also like probably 11 p.m. by the time she saw us.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm tired on her shift.
Yeah.
So we saw the ultrasound, and we ended up being discharged like immediately after the doctor confirmed that. My blood test came back, my hormone levels looked fine, and my ultrasound showed a healthy pregnancy. That was what the doctor had shared. Oh. And so I remember the doctor smiling at me, and she was just like, she had like a very heavy accent, and she was just telling me like, look, like if the difference between a miscarriage and just implantation bleeding is you would have golf ball size blood clots being passed through. And she just smiled. She was like, don't worry, you're okay. This is not like any type of bleeding to be worried about. She was very reassuring.
Yeah.
So we drove home that night. Like, we felt so reassured and so confident, and we were, you know, having a healthy baby, and we were back to all the excitement.
And probably also so excited that you finally got to see your little one.
Yes. Well, we were like, oh, we got to see an ultrasound, but we couldn't take a video of it or anything like the ultrasound tech wouldn't let us. Mm-hmm. And now looking back, I think maybe she had seen something that, I don't know, the doctor didn't catch in the ultrasound. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we were glad that we just had gotten some peace of mind.
Right.
So that week, that was like a one-time only kind of thing, but Noe was working from home that week only. It was just like crazy timing. So Fridays were also a late start day for me. I only did like half day on Fridays. So on October 12th, 2018, Noe was downstairs working, and I woke up. It was like my day to sleep in. I woke up about 8 a.m. and I was like extreme cramping, and I felt this urge that I just had to run to the restroom. So I jumped up and I ran to the restroom, and forgive the graphic description, but I'm sure like in clicking on this podcast to listen, you knew that it's going to have some details, but feel free to skip ahead. But as soon as I sat down on the toilet, there was just like, it just filled the toilet bowl with like huge clots of blood. Yeah. Like, it was just so devastating.
Right.
Like, I was like, I knew immediately that this was it. This was my baby. I just passed my baby through. And so I just like screamed for Noe. So he came running upstairs, and I just like the mental image that I can always remember is like sitting on the toilet. Like I couldn't even like move. I just was like, there was like so much blood. It was just like a crime scene. It was like the craziest thing. It was honestly traumatizing. Like that moment felt so traumatizing. And I was thinking like when I found out later, like 1 in 4 women go through this kind of a trauma.
Yeah.
Like this is so devastating. And I just remember like sitting on the toilet bowl filled with clots of blood, and Noe sitting on the bathtub, you know, his arms around me, and we were just like sobbing. Like it was just so, it was like this like quick jolt into like a terrible reality. It was really crazy.
Yeah.
We didn't even know what to do. And we even like, you know, took some time to pull ourselves together. And we even had a conversation about like, do we flush the toilet right now? Do we try to collect like these blood clots? Like it's just like a bowl full of blood, basically. I'm like, I don't even know what we're searching for, what to do. It was just crazy. And it was just like the most helpless situation that we have ever personally experienced. Like just devastation. So Noe and I drove back to the emergency room, and I remember that drive, like Noe was still trying to be like, so he's just a very positive person, and I'm a very like realistic person. And so like the whole drive he was like, it's gonna be okay, like, you know, maybe they have something that can help. And I was just like, it's like done. Like I was just like, this is like not gonna be okay, you know. Like it was just like this really you know, it's like one of those moments in life when you're like, yeah, my spouse and I are such different people. But it was also like that's what balanced us out through this whole experience, was like he like got through it by like thinking like positive, you know, through the whole thing, and I got through it by like processing the reality of it and then having those conversations back and forth. But so we drove back to the emergency room, and the same ultrasound technician was there that did our ultrasound from the night before. And she was so kind. She was a Christian, and she just like spoke. It was like such a God timing thing, because she just like spoke such like sweet words of strength and just faith into our moment that we needed it the most. And the doctors and the nurses that we had, everyone was so kind and so gentle towards me. And my body had naturally passed everything that was remaining from my pregnancy within like maybe the first like 48 hours. And then it was just like just a regular cycle after that, basically.
Yeah.
So every time I used the ret, like it passed so quickly. Which the doctors did tell me, like, well, this is a good thing because you don't have to have a surgery to have everything removed after, like a DNC. Yeah. And I was like, I just like couldn't, like those words didn't make sense. Like when the doctor was like, no, but this is a good thing. Like your body's doing what it should do. And I just was like, no, my body was supposed to carry a baby and it didn't. Like I was just like, I don't understand your words. Like your words are just, like they're just like they it sounds like you're speaking a foreign language to me. It just, it honestly couldn't like make sense of what the doctor was saying. But like, but looking back, I am glad that I didn't have to go through with like a DNC, because I have heard those are very uncomfortable and painful as well.
Yeah.
And emotional as well.
Emotional. Yeah.
So because mine did pass naturally and so quickly, every time I used the restroom, it was like I was living in this nightmare that I couldn't wake up from. And it was just like a toilet bowl full of blood every time.
Yeah.
It was like, I just want this to stop. I wish I could have had control over my body, you know?
Right.
So for the next several days, because everything passed so quickly, my hormones just like plummeted. Like I went to do blood tests 3 days apart, and the doctor was like, your hormones are just like going down so quickly. And so I felt like my personality was drained. Like I'm a very big personality usually I tend to be like, I can talk to a wall. I can, you know, entertain like a clown. Like I really love people. I love talking to people. I love comforting people. I love making people smile. Like I really love interacting with people. And I had no desire to move. It was like the scariest thing, because I've never felt like that. Like I was like, I literally felt like all of me had been just like ripped out of my body, and it was just like a body laying there that was like lifeless.
Right.
And I'm a mental health therapist, and I work with children, and I was like, I'm never going to be able to do my job again. Like I don't even know how to hold a conversation. I can't even put myself together. Like it was just crazy, and it felt like it was just never going to end. So I remember I asked my doctor, like I explained my situation, you know, I just told my doctor, like, I don't, like, is this normal? Like, am I ever gonna be myself again? Like, am I ever gonna get my personality back? I just, like, I'm not even myself. And I told him, I'm a therapist. I work with children's mental health. Like, how can I work with someone else's mental health, especially a child's mental health, while I'm like completely drained? And so he was really kind, and he actually gave me a note for a week off of work. And then my job was so kind, and it was like my director that had approved it. She had shared with me that she also had had a miscarriage previously. So she was like understanding of it, and she approved the week off of work. And that was just like, looking back was like, man, that was just so, so kind of them.
Yeah. I actually follow someone on Instagram who experienced a loss through miscarriage. And I remember one day her being super open on social media about her loss. And, you know, she just was kind of telling everyone, like, please, you know, give me time to grieve. I may not be as active on here, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then about a week or so later, she came on and she had said she had been getting messages and texts from people, you know, with good intentions, but saying things like, oh, you know, time will heal the wounds, or just be brave. Like those kind of things that, you know, people say to try to be helpful. And she was sharing about how, you know, although people were trying to be helpful, it wasn't really helpful. And she was saying so many good things about like, this is how you could help. Like she wasn't getting on there to like bash these people. It was more like an informational thing. Like if you have a friend or a sibling or whatever going through a miscarriage, you know, you can do, you know, A, B, or C, you know. And she shared some ways, you know, like, for example, you know, she said, you know, just let me cry like when I need to, or like if we're talking, like don't act like that baby didn't exist, because then it makes me feel like I did something wrong. Like, so she just kind of like explained a few
like
things.
It's like it's like a deep dark secret that we all want to avoid or something. Yeah.
Right. And so I guess two questions. One, what did you find helpful during this time, like during the grieving process? And also, like, how did you begin your road to recovery from going to like almost like zombie like to how you are now?
It was a very slow process. Like that's the short answer of it all. I remember maybe my second day of miscarriage. So miscarriage, it sounds like it's like this quick thing, but I mean it could take like a week for your body to just like go through this whole process. It's like it can be very quick, or it can be very long, and then your hormones, your body processes it like you just gave birth. So you're you know, depending on how far into it you are, I've heard some women say that they, you know, began to lactate, and so they have to go through that process. And so it's different for everyone, but just know that it's a slow process in the actual healing, not just of passing through the miscarriage. You know, maybe some people have passed, you know, pass their miscarriage very quickly, but like mine did, it went like very quickly. And but mentally, emotionally, hormonally, spiritually, I was not okay, and I just needed that time. And so I remember, like, maybe on the second day of miscarrying, crawling out of my bed. My husband was downstairs, and I remember crawling into my closet and closing the door, and I just knew, like, I needed Jesus. Like, I needed Jesus, but I had nothing to say. I had nothing to say to anybody around me. I had nothing to say to God. I knew it wasn't, like, I've just never really been the type of person that, like, you know, everything is like, oh, it's God's fault. So I didn't struggle with that. I mean, maybe some moms have. I didn't struggle with that, but I just also didn't have anything to say, period. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, crawled into my closet next to my bed, and I closed the door, and I just, like, completely just broke down, just bawling my eyes out, and by myself in the closet, I just lifted my hands and I sat there bawling my eyes out for a while. And then all I could get out was, like, I don't understand, but I'm still going to praise you because you're God. And I just, like, cried through it. And I didn't say those words in, like, confidence, like I'm saying them on this podcast. I said them in, like, probably the most broken, you know, way that I could have said them. But I really feel like in that moment of brokenness that God responded, and his presence was in that space with me. And I didn't feel like, oh, God's presence showed up and I was healed immediately. Like, that wasn't how it happened. It was like his presence showed up and I could just feel him in that space. And I didn't feel healed, but I felt held by him. And I feel like that was exactly what I needed. Like, I didn't want to heal. I didn't want to be okay. I wanted to be not okay because my situation was not okay.
Right.
And so I just felt, like, so free to just grieve and mourn. Like, I didn't feel like I had to be strong. I was in the presence of my Heavenly Father. And I really felt like in that moment, I was so free to just mourn. And I did. I just let my heart break in that closet. And I felt like God's heart was breaking with mine. And I felt like spiritually that was, like I said, it didn't feel like an immediate healing, but I felt like that was like a beginning of my, or maybe just like it was giving me closure to the ending of something as well, but also the beginning of a grieving process. Just feeling like it's okay to grieve.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone can really explain that feeling until they've lived it, like this feeling of not understanding and not feeling complete, but feeling complete peace, you know, because you've, like you said, you had nothing else to say, but what you did have to say, you gave it to God. And then, like, he literally took care of the rest. It's not instantaneous, you know, but like you said, like, along with you, like, you felt like he was walking along with you through this process.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, for those first several days, our home was filled with visitors, like family. And, like, I'm so grateful that we had the love and support of our family to grieve with us. My parents were over, my in-laws were over, my siblings came over. Like, there was just, like, someone in our home for a couple days. Like, during the daytime, they were, like, hugging us, or, you know, just would sit to cry with us, or cooking and cleaning for us while we grieved. And I definitely did not worry about social graces. Like, I gave myself permission to just be very present in those moments and to just feel whatever I need to feel. Like, if I, like, there were moments that I maybe asked my husband, like, can you ask so-and-so, like, not to come right now. Like, I just need time. I just need nobody in the house. Or there were times that, like, we had visitors and I would just want to talk about my pregnancy or what I missed or, you know, what was really difficult about the loss. And there were times that I would just, you know, let the tears flow because they needed to flow, even with, you know, my in-laws or with my parents here. And there were moments that maybe could have been like, I could have hid behind like, oh no, that's going to be awkward or uncomfortable, but it was actually really healing and actually very bonding with our loved ones as well, to allow them to see us in such like a vulnerable place and allow them to be present with us as well. So there were times, there were times with visitors at the house that I just was like, I just needed space and I would just walk upstairs. And I think because of the moment of loss, like, people are understanding. Well, like, our family was very understanding for whatever we needed. I knew that in that moment, though, I needed to allow myself to receive from other people. And that's not something that's like natural to my personality. I'm someone who I love to give, but receiving is so awkward and so difficult. And especially like emotionally, like, I chose to be a therapist because I love being someone that can like walk someone through the healing process and I can take someone on their journey. You know, it's like, I love being on that seat, but to be the person in the chair that you're needing to receive, or you're needing someone to hold your hand as you're walking through a healing process, it's uncomfortable. And it's not like that's not the chair that anybody wants to be in. It's extremely humbling. But in so many ways, like, after the process, I can look back and say, like, it was so strengthening to allow myself to receive from others that God had sent into my life during that season. And for my husband, grieving, you know, looked different. He actually went out and purchased like security cameras for our house. And I was inside, I think it was like the next day or 2 days later or something, I was inside the house and I just heard like banging on the outside of the house. I'm like, what is going on right now? And I like come outside and he's like, I'm putting cameras in. I was like, okay. So I just knew like, this is part of his process right now. Like, I had to know, like, this is his loss just as much as it is mine, but I'm the one physically experiencing it. So a lot of it, I got, like, I guess you could say like more attention, because it was like, I needed to be tended to, like, physically. I was just like really weak, but he was emotionally experiencing this loss as well. And as a dad, he was so excited to become a dad. So to have that like taken away, but no process to actually physically go through for him. I felt like him installing security cameras was like his way of like, this is what I can do to like protect my family. This is what I can do to, you know, keep them safe from anything physically that could harm. It was like, okay, that was a very expensive way to grieve. But
yeah,
I really felt like that was part of his journey. And not in the moment, but like way later, him and I had talked about that. Like, you know, I like, part of why I was just like, okay, install the cameras if you need to, was just because I knew like it seemed like this was his grieving. And he was trying to fix it. Like, what can I do physically to fix this loss of control? And we talked about it later and he's like, yeah, you know, that's exactly what I was trying to do. I don't think he realized it in the moment, but that was part of his process. So being gracious towards like, you know, your spouse during that time too, understanding that like maybe physically they're not experiencing it, but they are going through that process of loss as well. And it's not going to be easy for them.
So with all of your friends and family coming over and you're trying to process this, Noe is trying to process this, was there anything that you felt like, man, I really needed to hear that? Or was there like a perfect thing to say? Or like, what did that look like for you? Like, what did you need or not need, I guess, like during that time?
Yeah. So we did have a lot of family coming through, and then we had several friends reaching out to us. There was no like words really that were said that were specifically comforting. Like any moment of loss for any of us, you're not really looking for words. You're just like part of the grieving process is like, you know, you want it to be okay again. And you know that it can never just be back to the okay that you were wanting it to be. So letting that part go is part of the grieving process. And I think like when people reach out, it's out of the kindness of their heart. Like it really, truly is. It takes so much kindness to even reach out to someone who's in a moment of loss. But there's just no specific words that are like, you know, just say this every time someone has a miscarriage. And like, that's the perfect thing to say. But I think like more just being present for that person. Like I can remember, there were people who had told me like, oh, how far along were you? Oh, well, good thing you weren't too far along. And it was like, well, actually that just means that I like missed out on all those following months of pregnancy as well. Or like, I remember someone was like, oh, well, at least you didn't get to feel the baby kick yet. And it was like, oh, but like, that also means that I never got to feel the baby kick.
Yeah.
You know, it was like,
yeah,
like when people would say things that were like almost invalidating, but meaning it from like, they meant it from a place of comfort. It was like, that's never helpful. First of all, it's never helpful when someone's grieving or, you know,
right.
But to ever invalidate their situation. But still like I was talking about, like being gracious towards yourself on giving yourself time to heal. Also understanding that like your loved ones and like your friends and your family, they don't have the perfect words to say. So also being gracious towards them as well, just knowing that like them reaching out is because they love you. And so don't be hard on yourself during this time or your spouse, and also on your loved ones. Like just understand that like people are going to say things that like it will hurt. But there's also no perfect thing to say during this time.
Yeah.
Except for like, if you do have someone that you know that is going through a miscarriage, and especially if like you're, you know, close to them, don't ignore them during that time. Like, don't treat them like, you know, it's taboo. I'm not going to ask about the miscarriage because I don't want to remind you of it. Or I'm not going to ask about it because it's a sad subject, because you're also robbing them of all the joy that they felt of the pregnancy as well. Like you're basically like, by ignoring, you know, the pregnancy and the miscarriage altogether, it's like you're never giving that baby recognition just for being a life that impacted you. And that was something that like really meant a lot to me, just that people reached out. I know there were some people who like were like, oh, I didn't, you know, and out of the kindness of their heart too, like, you know, I didn't know how you were doing, and so I just wanted to give you space. And for me personally, like, I think it's important to know the person that is experiencing the loss and how maybe they would need to be addressed during that time. Like, I'm the one who, like, I need to talk it out. I need to feel. I need to let them flow in that moment, because I don't want to hold it in. I don't want it to, like, affect me later on. I want to get it all out in that moment. And then when I'm ready to go again, I'm fully ready to go, you know?
Right.
And there are some people that like, in order to recharge or in order to fully heal, they need more alone time. So just being sensitive to what that person might need, I would say, is like key.
Yeah.
In a time of loss.
Yeah. We are running out of time, but I do want to ask one more thing. How did you and Noe as a couple heal from this? Because I know you've kind of talked, you know, your grieving process, his grieving process. How did, like, what did you guys do together that helped you heal?
Well, in our alone time, we spoke about the joys of the pregnancy that we missed most. So we never let ourselves become so, we never allowed the loss of the miscarriage to overshadow the joys that we experienced from our first pregnancy. Like, we just allowed ourselves to recognize those joys will always be our joys. Mm-hmm. Those moments of happiness will always be in our memory. And the miscarriage, although this is a moment of great sadness, never takes away from the joy that that baby brought into our life.
Right.
So we really allowed ourselves to, like, recognize that joy continuously. And we also never made it taboo to talk about it. So, like, if we just wanted to bring it up, it was never like a, oh, you know, is this going to, is this the right timing? Or is this, like, we just talked about it as this is part of life. Like, this was part of our life. And not just, like, ignoring the emotions of it, but, you know, really embracing it. Like, if him and I felt like we, you know, wanted to talk about it, we talked about it. And we decided to keep that name Judah because it felt like it just felt so close to our hearts during the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And we decided in our darkest days we would turn that pain that we had from the miscarriage into praise and just trust God and just praise. And we would just tell God, and not like happy praise. Like, it wasn't like, you know, we're bawling our eyes out and then we're like jumping and shouting. We were just like, in a very solemn way, would just like turn it into praise. Okay, God, we don't understand and we're still trusting you, and we praise you. During this time, like, that was the name that we felt God gave us for this baby, was to praise. So that's what we're going to do, is even in this, the loss of this baby, we're going to praise you. And that really brought us like a foundation to our healing and recovery from this loss. Because our miscarriage was early on and our baby's body was too little to have a formal funeral for, to even catch in the miscarriage, Noe and I decided that we still wanted to do a memorial for this baby so that we could say our goodbyes and just have some closure. So before I went back to work the next weekend, we decided that we were going to do like a balloon memorial. And some friends had stopped by, just like randomly had stopped by to bring us dinner. It was actually Ryan and Rachel. Rachel Villarin has been on our podcast before, and her husband is a videographer, photographer, and they stopped by to bring us dinner. And we were telling them, yeah, I think we're going to do this memorial tomorrow, just to like say our final goodbyes and have some closure. And he was so kind, like, let me, you know, would you guys allow me to capture this moment for you guys so you have these memories? And because we were just going to go by ourselves, and we were like, that is so kind of you. Like,
yeah,
yes, of course. So he was so like just sensitive in how he captured our moment. Like, he like stayed at a distance. And so we really felt like it was just like our own moment. And we each, Noe and I each wrote a letter out addressed to baby Judah. And we had ordered a bouquet of balloons, and we had like one balloon for each week of pregnancy, but three extra large balloons, like those giant, like 24 inch balloons, for the 3 weeks that we had experienced the joy that this baby had brought into our lives. So we just like tried to make it very sentimental.
Yeah.
And we just went down to the beach and we stood on the edge of the ocean and we said our final goodbyes. We read our letters out loud to each other. And we let the balloons go, and, you know, we gave ourselves time to cry, to hug. And as we let the balloons go, actually, they like crashed to the ground, like the wind pulled them down to the ground. And this little boy went like chasing after them and like brought him back to us. He's like, your balloons got away. We're like, so we like gave ourselves time to laugh. It was like, Like, this is, you know, just like motherhood, nothing goes as planned. Even like trying to plan this really sweet memorial. I mean, it was beautiful. It was right at sunset, but it was just like, of course, like, you know, just like in life or in motherhood, there always has to be something, but it all makes for those memories. And it made the memorial so much more special of like, look, this life is still bringing like joy into our life.
Yeah.
Still, even after his passing. So we, you know, had a second chance and we let them go. And we like tied our letters to the balloon and we like sent them off with the balloon. And we just watched the sunset and, you know, held each other extra tight as we watched the sunset. And it was just like this moment of like, we're still not healed, but like, we're okay to not be okay right now.
Cause
the situation wasn't okay. So, yeah, it was nice. I would really encourage any mom who has had a miscarriage or maybe is experiencing one to allow yourself to grieve and also to grieve in the way that you need to grieve, and also to set something up, even if it's just you and your spouse. Like for Noe, it was literally just going to be him and I with a couple letters and balloons. Doesn't have to be big, but something to give yourself that closure is so important in that healing process as well. I know on Motherhood Unfiltered, we're actually going to be doing the International Wave of Light. And that's actually something that I didn't know about. So I'm really excited to be, you know, participating in that to give honor to my unborn child as well. So any moms who are listening that have had a miscarriage, you know, be sure to reach out to us so that we can include you in that memorial, include your child in that memorial.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important to recognize, you know, your little ones that you've lost, whether it be through miscarriage or an infant or whatever. I think that's so important. Like you said, just for, if not for anybody else, for yourself, you know, to recognize it. It's a very powerful thing.
Absolutely. And those things did help us so much in being able to move forward. And fast forward 1 year later to the date, so October 12th, 2018, we had experienced our miscarriage. And then October 12th, 2019, we were driving home from the hospital with our son, Noah, who was just 2 days old. And we just had overwhelmingly grateful hearts to be in that situation.
Right. Every time I hear that, I get chills. Like, that's just so crazy. And it really is amazing.
Yeah.
And now he's almost one.
He is. Yeah. He's going to be one on Saturday. I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
Seriously. Well, thank you for sitting in this space with us as we dove into a topic that is, it really is hard to talk about. But thank you, Brittany, for being the one to open up about it.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me. I know being a collaborator, I've gotten to host podcasts, but sharing my own journey is definitely a totally different story. So I appreciate being able to open up on our podcast, and I hope it touches a mom out there who needs it. And I would just encourage any mom who's going through a loss or maybe has experienced a loss but never had a chance to truly mourn and grieve the loss of your child, give yourself that time that you need to mourn. Be gracious with yourself, be loving towards yourself, allow yourself to reach out to others when you need them as well. If you need a memorial, if you need to do a memorial, you know, put something together and do that if that's what you're needing. Sometimes the most healing thing you can do is to actually allow yourself to sit in the emotions and let them flow. So if that means just allowing yourself to feel that pain for a little bit and like the tears flowing, it can actually bring strength and healing. This can prevent so many emotions from bottling up, including anxiety. I know, like, as moms, a lot of times we can experience anxiety in motherhood. And this is just one more thing that, you know, maybe if this is part of what's bottled up in you, this is something that you can get out as well. And I just pray that you figure out what you need to begin your healing process if you haven't already, and allow yourself to reach out to loved ones, close friends if you need them. And also here at Motherhood Unfiltered, we're here for you if you need a friend. So feel free to reach out to us as well.
Yeah, and I just, you touched on it a little bit, but I just want to open the door one more time. This Thursday, October 15th, we will be, the Motherhood Unfiltered community will be participating in the International Wave of Light at 7 p.m. Yeah. Pacific Daylight Time. So if you've experienced a miscarriage or infant loss of your own and would like to participate, please send us a DM by, I don't know, probably the day before we would need it, the 14th. And we're just going to be lighting a candle for each infant that you would like to participate. So you could just DM us at underscore Motherhood Unfiltered and let us know, and we can get you all of the details. But yeah, we hope that this podcast was really effective for you, for those that are healing. We hope that it helped you heal a little bit. For those that have someone who is healing, we hope that that helped you as well. And we thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us. If you haven't already, we want to welcome you to connect with us on Instagram @_MotherhoodUnfiltered. Thanks again for joining us.